Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Wednesday afternoon. A lot of pain in my hand. But I'll do one piece about Pesach, thanks to the prodding of Gluck Plumbing. Always grateful for the sponsorship. Although, with him, it's always a problem. Can't use any old fish. It's got to be fresh fish. It's not easy. I don't always remember the old fish. But he does. We're looking at Pesach coming around the corner. And obviously, the key element in Pesach, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is Lo Yitin Amashkes Lo Boi Batei Chamlin Goes. Save you from the angel of death. The Malchum Avos. Matter of fact, I'm sure you know, there are different sources. The Haggadah Shel Pesach, which is a compiled, a work. We've talked about it many times. I mean, the Haggadah Shel Pesach is not ancient one. There was no Haggadah Shel Pesach, as far as we know, in Bais Rishon period. It's actually a reaction to the Septuagint and all the stuff that we talked about in the past. But nevertheless, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, they happen to use the Chazal, which is Aniv lo Malch, Aniv lo Sarv. But other places, talks about Mashchis. And there's a opposite in the Medrash Rabbah. I remember going by heart, over there in Bo, whatever, that it says, Ani was a Malach. Ani was a Sarv, that kind of thing. So, later it's going on that night, it's the angel of death is killing all the Egyptians, of course, and not the Hebrews. Let's push it. What does it mean? You have to keep in mind, which I don't think we do, that the angel of death is not an unfamiliar figure to the Jewish people, because shortly before the original Passover, you had the plague of darkness. The vast majority of Jewish people perished. We forget that. Right? 80% of Chamushim Olu B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. 4/5 died. In a short time, if you go like the Chazal, the Jews buried them. Remember, they said it was in darkness that Egyptians shouldn't even bury them. You know that, Rashi. So think about that. Here's a guy who said like this. 80%. I just buried my bubby and Zadie, and my brother and sister, and this and that and the other, and cousins and so on and so forth. from the 20% who's willing to leave Mitzrayim. But let me tell you something. It was a pretty depressing business to have to bury all the fellow Jews, especially relatives, who died not long ago. I mean, the Makkos Choshech, because it was just before the Makkos Bechoras. So, right along the time, when Hashem says, HaChodesh Ezer Lachem, and Shachtu Ish, Karban Pesach, and all that, I mean, it wasn't just a regular week, right? It was a devastating period for the Jewish people. Yes, 1/5 left, 600,000 men, let's say 3 million people. But it should have been a lot more than that. And everybody knew this. Now, why did the Malchum Avos kill everybody in the Makkos Choshech? Because they didn't want to leave. So in other words, you have the theme of a physical death versus a spiritual death. What's Pshat spiritual death? In other words, the people who perished in the Makkos Choshech, they died a spiritual death. The Hainu, they want to remain in Egypt. If a person says, I'm foregoing the opportunity with Nisim Gluyim to leave Mitzrayim, and I prefer, in spite of everything else, the 10 plagues and all the rest of it, to remain here, I mean, you're Jewishly dead. You get what I'm saying? I mean, you got no sensitivity whatsoever, baby. And your neshama is like dead. It's pretty remarkable. It's not the same thing, like today in America and all the rest of it, because they're not suffering here to what they did over there. But the Malchum Avos was a familiar figure in the Jewish households not long before. Consider well, if 80% perished, that means Let's say I'm just making this up. You got a Jewish guy's house. Let's say his name was Shloimeh. The Malachim Avos did not skip over the house of Shloimeh in the Makas Choshech. That's in the Makas Bechoritz on Pesach. Right? The Torah makes a big deal about it. But the Torah skips the whole business that the Malachim Avos certainly did not skip over the houses of the Bnei Yisrael during the Makas Choshech. And it was crying and screaming and all that kind of business by the Mitzrim. On Pesach, there was crying and screaming, must have been. On the Jewish houses, a couple weeks before Pesach? Right? I mean, it was a terrible business. Yes, one-fifth survived, but the other four-fifths did not survive. Okay? So millions of Jews, perished just before the glorious occasion of the Yetzias Mitzrayim when the other 20% was able to get out. It's a very strange kind of story. And the Chumash doesn't tell you this, as you know, but that's not surprising because a lot of times the Chumash and the rabbinic literature in general, unless you look closely, they lied. They go over unpleasant things. Sometimes they don't hide unpleasant things. But often they do. We're about to read in the Haggadah. I know I've said this before. Arami Ovid Ovi Vayer Mitzrayim Vayehi Sham Lagoya Tzum Ma'atzim, whatever it says over there. Which, as you know, is the Nuskha Haggadah as we have it today, which is from what the Vidya Bikurim, I think, over there, whatever it's in Kisava, isn't that right? And the Sifri. And that's the pasuk they choose to tell you about the Exodus from Egypt. It's a little bit weird. Why use that? There are a lot more psukim in Shemos, for example, which go into much greater detail about the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why do they go into that? But the answer I hold is very simple. The whole point of the Seder is to talk up the Jews. But the Emes, the way we got into Egypt is very talking down on the Jews, because it was through the Mechiras Yosef. So, you don't get into that, because otherwise, it doesn't sound like a chosen people. What are you going to do? So the Seder night, they're going to talk about, oh, how did we get to Egypt? Well, the brothers hated Yosef. Why'd they hate Yosef? And he got sewn his possum, and they threw him into a pit. He ended up in Mitzrayim by Potiphar, and blah, 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 the whole ganze story. It doesn't reflect well on us. But in the account where it says, Arami Ovid Ovid Yer Mitzrayim, that completely skips over the whole business. It tells you the bare bones facts. It is true, Arami Ovid Ovid, and it is true, Yer Mitzrayim. And then you concentrate, Manitzek Hashem Olhiyah Vaseinu, and all that stuff. Vayanunu, then you can talk about the suffering of Jews in Egypt. So the Torah is written sometimes hiding the faults of the Bnei Yisrael. That's not surprising. And whoever came up with the Haggadah idea, that's the way they did it. Which I can understand. But let's put it this way. It was a real bummer in the sense that so many died. Right? Now the 80%, so I'll say it again. The Malachim Avos did the opposite. The Makas Choshech is the reverse of the Makas Bechoritz. In the Makas Bechoritz, he was posech, he skipped over the house of the Jews, and he hit the house of the Mitzrim. In the Makas Choshech, he skipped over the house of the Mitzrim, and he hit the Jews. Isn't that how we understand it? We killed Rova B'Klal Yisrael. Rova B'Klal Yisrael! Not only that, Ruba Kakula, 80% is a lot. So that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And it means that millions and millions died in the darkness shortly before the original Passover. Right? Now, it's just interesting to me, when you consider these themes, why did the 80% want to stay? After all, you're hated, you're going to remain a slave, and all that stuff. They had to have Egyptian friends. Not everybody was suffering the salt mines. Some of these people worked themselves out of slavery, perhaps. In the old days, unlike in the South, with the Negro slaves, in the old world, it was possible for an enterprising slave, if the master permitted, to accumulate funds and get out of that state of being. Maybe expensive, maybe not expensive. So it's Masha, at least to me, it sounds like the 80%, which was Rove, were working on their own emancipation program. And a lot of them probably said something along the following lines. I'm 3/4 of the way to buying myself out. 70% of the way. So let's say, for argument's sake, I'm just making this up, it's $100,000 to get me out of this. I've already squirreled away 75K, and I've given it to the master. So another 25K, I'm out of here. And then I'll be a free guy with Tuv Kol Eretz Mitzrayim Lefanecha. Right? Egypt had all the goodies. Zacharnos Adogim Ashenochim Mitzrayim Chinam Mesa Avatechim Mesa Kishurim and all that business. Right? They don't want to go to some faraway country and start all over again. I spent the last 10, 15 years putting together the 75K. It wasn't Pasha. But I've done it. And let's say I'm 35 years old or whatever. I still got a life. Why do I want to go out with this guy Moses into a midbar and all the rest of it? Right? So these are people died. Because they, I mean, you couldn't do what I just told you unless you cultivated good relations with your master and with your fellow Egyptians. At least to me. He had to go and kiss up these guys in power. And in the process of kissing up to them, he would become like them. And the reason I mention this to you is, when you compare and contrast the Makas Choshek on the one hand with the Makas Bechoris, which comes right after it, pretty doggone soon after it, what does it say in the Makas Bechoris? To the 20% who didn't go that way, 20% are willing to leave. Atem lo teitzu ish mi pesach beso aboker. Always strikes me very powerfully. Which, of course, literally means don't leave, you know, don't go out of your house, you know, while the Malchamot's running around. I get that. But it's more powerful than that. Atem lo seitzu ish mi pesach aboker. Don't go into the Gaisha culture. Right? Stay in your house. Stay in Beis Yisrael. Okay? Aboker. Until the coming of the morning, that is the end of the Gaos. When you're in Israel, you're not at the end of the Gaos. So do not be deceived. I'm sure that when they're leaving Egypt and the masters gave them gold and silver, all the rest of it, why didn't a guy think like this? Now that I have all this Kesem Zov, I could buy my way out here legally. And same as Ryan, as a free person. Why not? As you know, Pyro kind of expected that because after 3 days he said, why aren't you coming back? So he expected them all to come back. You know the story. And so Hashem says, we're going to have a carbon pesach. Atem lo seitzu ish mi pesach et beso aboker. But stay among yourselves. Don't intermix and mingle with the Egyptians, because that's a kiss of death, literally. Right? You won't want to leave, and you'll look at a separate Jewish destiny as something negative, something that doesn't turn you on. You'll consider the status quo, the not b'dievet, but the l'chatchila. And then you do indeed see the American Jews as a whole and the other Jews in Chutz Lartz today. The ones who violate Atem lo seitzu ish mi pesach beso aboker are the ones who they don't want to go to Israel, they don't want to help Israel, they're not interested in Jewish stuff. You know that whole schmooze. They're 100% Jewish, and maybe the grandparents or great-grandparents were very from people, you know, back in the Lower East Side or in Europe or something like that. That's the basic story of America and England and other countries. You see, Yatsu mi pesach beso lifnei boker. These people went and got themselves a very good secular education. They didn't get a Jewish education. They didn't live their lives socially in such a way. They stayed in the Bayis Yisrael, in the Jewish neighborhood, so to speak. I mean, culturally as well as physically. And the result is, they're hit with a darkness, and they don't want to leave, no matter what. They don't leave. And so the result is they all perished, which we know today has happened because, you know, Rove of the American Jews and similar things are on their way to perishing. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope there's a last minute, you know, light bulb going on. Maybe a few, like I've been saying these last months, a few will say, how's it going in Eicha? Oavai, Rehema, Rimuni, you know, all the people I trusted in, the liberals and others who I thought would stand up for me are standing up for everybody except me, right? If I was a Muslim, if I was in Black Lives Matter, if I was in I don't know what, they would stand up for me. But since I'm Jewish, they say the hell with Israel. I mean, you know, this, and some people, not enough, some Jews, are reacting to and say, I have I, Marva, whatever it is, Hamari Muni, right? And that should lead them to say, Samuni Natera Sakramim Karma Shalilo Natarti. That's the meaning of Atemlo Seisishim Pesach Booker. So I'm just trying to show you that the original Passover, which we're supposed to commemorate and try to relive the best of it, Chayavon and Liris Atsuki Yotzim Mitzrayim. I don't think most of us are Mekayim that, simply because you have to have a certain imagination, together with the information that you already know. I just don't think that most people connect the dots. And the dots are involved. It's coming right after Makkos Bechoras, and 80% are gone. And so, look at this. I'm told, if I'm one of the 20%, go make a Pesach Seder, put the blood on the walls, all the rest of it, stay in the house, and celebrate Pesach. With who? Read up this stuff that people were liberated by the Americans in April and May of 45 in the concentration camps. It was a strange business over there. I read a book a year ago about, I don't know, I've read many books. I read a book a year ago. Have it floating around my shoulder. Somebody gave it to me from, you know, Rabbi Schachter from the Bronx, J.J. Schachter's father. Beryl's father-in-law? No, not Beryl's father-in-law, whatever. Anyway, Rabbi Herschel Schachter, not the one in YU, you know, not Herschel Schachter. Anyway, the long and short of it, he's a YU Mosmach, and he was in the Dachau, the time of liberation. And he ran the first Seder, I don't know what he was, and the first Shabbosim. It was a strange business over there, because some people, completely understandably, said, hooray, this is great, we made it, Baruch Hashem, all which is completely true. And many other people are sitting there crying, and they say, where's my bubby, where's my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, where are my children? All of them perished, right? They all perished in the Holocaust, which is like a makas choshech, you understand? So how can I be happy at this Seder when everybody's gone? The very thought that only a Sheres HaPlata survived must have made that first Seder that you and I are supposed to recall Chai Vash Lerzaki Yatsim Mitzrayim. Rather depressing affair. Yes, there are miracles out there and they're putting the blood in the door and, you know, and the Malcolm up is skipping over the houses. How come you didn't skip over my house 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago in the Makas Choshech? How come you killed, you know, my grandparents, like I said before, uncles, aunts, this, that, and the other. You understand? How come now it's okay? Now, I realize there are arguments against that, but it's completely understandable that people talk that way. And I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu himself was not happy about this. Because imagine if it's 80%. So we say 600,000 men multiplied by 5. That's the usual way of doing it. So approximately 3 million left Egypt. It should have been, what, 15 million? Something like that or more? Imagine 15 million hit Canaan. Baby, you roll over them. Like the Russian army or something, you know? Chinese army, just roll over them. Then there wouldn't have been the Yeshua ben Nun business where you conquer a little here, a little there, you skip this, you skip that. There's a lot of holes and bubbles in place they didn't conquer. My goodness. The whole Eretz Yisrael, with 15 million, Eretz Yisrael would have taken over by a flood of Jews. Would have included Gaza Strip, by the way, which wasn't taken time. Yeshua would have included Lebanon, if you know the biblical borders. This is what God told them to do, not me. Okay? Didn't turn out that way. Instead, a fraction. Now, 3 million is not small, but it ain't 15 or 18 million. Okay? Consider that. Okay? So, I wonder what the Egyptians said. They said, what the heck happened? He used to have 15 million Jews over here, and most of them disappeared because they didn't seem being buried. So, here I am at the Seder. After I finished burying all my relatives, 4/5 of my family, and now I'm supposed to be celebrating, right? Now it's Matzah Mrum Yachluhu. Everything's to be peachy keen. Not so push it. Now, what's interesting is, to me, this is a pattern in Jewish history. We should have gone in kechayma, like a gigantic group in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. It didn't happen. Muslim perished in the plague of darkness. They should have gone in like a chayma in the time of the beginning of Ba'isheni and Zerubbabel and Ezra and all that. You know the Chazal. And it didn't happen. Instead, a very small group went to Eretz Yisrael, as we know. Even with all the reinforcement, Ezra and Nechem is still a very small group. It happened in 1948, but a very small group relative to the Jewish people. You know, set up in Israel. Ben Gurion used to say, he wasn't wrong on this. He said, I don't need the money from the American Jews. Let 1 million or 2 million or 3 or 4 million American Jews come live here. That'll solve our problems. I can't say he's wrong. I know the arguments back and forth, but if you step out of those little petty arguments, can't say he's wrong. And what's remarkable to me is that according to the Torah, according to the book of Daniel, that's what was to be Mashiach time also. Because how do we understand the Messianic process, the final Gula, which is supposed to be like Mitzrayim in some ways? Check out that book from the Ramchal and others. You know, Kitzeis Chamim, how's it go? Kitzeis Chamim Mitzrayim, I ran in the flows. You know that pasuk. So how do we envision the Messianic era? According to the book of Daniel, it's apocalyptic. You know, it'll be World War III, and the Velvet Jews will be killed. The survivors, the few survivors, will make it the Yemos HaMashiach, and everything will be peachy keen. Everything will be great. Yeah, but what about the millions who perish? Millions who perish. Because I remember it says it'll be Ace Tzar Yaakov, Shlonia Lefnei Kain. It'll be a terrible time. And we all know the Chevli Mashiach, and what's the Gemara Yesev L'Yachmina, I want to be there when it's over, I want to be there during it. You know, like my generation, me, myself and I, we grew up in the years after the Holocaust. That's the time to be born. You know what I'm saying? Not then the Holocaust. And so, there's some pattern out there in which the Klal Yisrael is supposed to have a tremendous potential, and then the potential will be knocked down, and the Sheretz HaPlaita, as we would call today, will make it through to the end, and they'll enjoy the Yemos HaMashiach and all the others. It's remarkable. So therefore, if you're thinking about the original Seder on the first Passover, so here is a guy like myself, and I'm sitting there with my family. And I said, what family? Most of them are gone. They all perished a month ago, a couple weeks ago. I buried them myself. The house is empty. And so is by my neighbor, and so is by his neighbor, and so by his neighbor. I think, I don't know about this, this is my own shot. I think this could be the reason why the Karban Pesach, Vol Karbanos, is told to Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Bo, and becomes an ikar part of the Karban Pesach laws that has to be eaten by Chabura. Celebrates Abos Celebrates. It's all strange. You know? Just do your ordinary... I mean, I understand the idea that everybody at the Seder has to have a Kazayis, etc., etc. I get that. But my wife is pretty efficient, so is yours. Usually on Shabbos, you have guests. They have a general pretty good idea after a while how much is going to be eaten, how much is not going to be eaten. You know, I mean, it's not like today where you can leave leftovers eat during the week. If it's no, sir, you can't leave around. I get that. But why does that be an ikar part of the Torah? In the original Passover, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Parshat Bo, Parshat HaChodesh, which we are going to read this coming Shabbos, right? And it's not simply Chodesh Zelachem, but rather Yicham, Sela Beisabo, Sela Beis, Bimeim, Mibais, Mibos, Misevela, Kahu, Ushchenu, Hakarbe, Loba, Mechsas, Nefoshes, Ishel, Fiyachot, Tachos, Alseh, and so forth. And there's so many dinim in the Mishnah, the Gemara, about the Chaburas, if one's missing, and this, and that, and the other, and if some of the people can't eat, or they're Tomei, you know, all the nitty gritty stuff they find in Pesachim, in the Mesech of Pesachim. Vos Epis. That the Karban Pesach, unlike other Karbanos, is from literally day one, is totally beaten by Chabur and all the rest of it. I think, like I said, I don't know. I think that has to do with the fact that a lot of people were dead. And therefore, either I don't have enough people in my house for Karban Pesach, so I'm going to get together with my neighbors, or I'm going to be depressed. You're going to be depressed because we all lost so many relatives. Let's all get together like a survivor's type of meal. And, you know, one would be mechazik the other. Right? One would be mechazik the other. And that became an integral part of the original Karma Pesach. But again, I don't think we connect the dots. This is coming in the immediate aftermath of a kind of a Holocaust, which is greater than the Holocaust that we went through in the 20th century. Because we didn't lose, I mean, we lost a lot. I am not stupid, you know. But we didn't lose 80% of Klal Yisrael, thank God. There were about 16 or 17 million Jews in the world before Hitler. And he killed, what, 6 million? Actually, he killed 5 point something million. So it went from, let's say, I'm just making this up. Let's say from like 16 or 16 and a half to 11 million. I mean, that's a terrible number. Obviously, I'm not making light of this. But it's not 80%. Chas v'chalila. He would have gotten a hold of Eretz Yisrael, of the Soviet Union. I mean, he wanted to kill everybody, as you know very well. It didn't happen like that. But you understand that, you know, when it happened in Egypt, it's an unbelievable catastrophe. And so the Jews want an emotional roller coaster. On the one hand, they're blue and depressed over all, everybody just died. And then they're supposed to rejoice and celebrate a couple weeks later on 14th of Nisan, where you put the blood on the door and eat the Karm Basic, and the Malam Moves will skip over you this time. Right? And so you see, the original Karm Pesach has to be understood, as I always point out. That's my particular bent or weakness. You have to look at historical context. And nothing I just said is not known to you. Everybody knows about the Makkas Bechoras, and everybody knows about Chamush and Ol Bnei Yisrael Meiris Yisrael, and everybody knows that they buried the dead in the Makkas Choshech, and everybody knows that it was immediately, it was the ninth plague of 10 plagues. But I don't think we make it work. It's really remarkable, this concept of Sheretz HaPlegia. Like I said, if you look at America today, I mean, if the Mashiach came tomorrow, I hate to say this, a belt of American Jews won't want to go. Especially these idiots who march with the Hamas, all the rest of it, which is plenty. Somebody told me, I wasn't there, they had some pro-Israel thing in Baltimore, and Shomer Emun in the Shul, and the Arabs or whatever came to protest. I heard from somebody that was actually all Jews. You see? The descendants of the Arab. That's, what is the big problem? They violated the rule, Atem lo teitzim ish mi pesach beisu ad boker. They've gone not only physically, but mentally, out of the house of Klal Yisrael into the house of Hamas. That can happen. That can happen. That is actually a more sobering thought than almost anything else when it comes to Pesach. Anyway, that's what I had in mind. I don't want to go too long. Again, I want to thank Gluck Plumbing for prodding me to get into Pesach thinking. Like I said before, since I'm in pain anyway, I might as well shoot my mouth off. And I do thank him. And I wish everybody a good week.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidovidkatz.com.